Well, I know that seders are over. There may be families who still have a family gathering of one kind or another, but I don't know about you. I'm done with my Haggadot. I put them away. Well, I haven't yet put them away. They're all stacked on my table, but well, we know where they are and they go. But I wanted to spend just a couple of moments tonight, kind of a different kind of evening on this Shabbat in the middle of Passover, to learn about a particular figure who attends oh so many seders. Who's that? Elijah. I mean, unless you table hop from place to place to place, I suppose that's possible, right? Why do we open the door for Elijah at the end of near the end of the Seder? Who remembers? We just read this portion. Nobody knows. It's all just there. Why do we open the door for Elijah? To let him in, right? Right? And why Elijah? Why him in particular? Because I hear mumbling, but no answers. He's the okay, good. He's the harbinger of the Messiah, of the Messiah, or the Messianic era, right? Elijah, right? Passover is the season of redemption, right? And so Elijah comes to see if the world is ready. Are we ready yet for redemption? The rabbis are of two minds of that. Either the time will come when everything is perfect and yes, we're finally ready, or when everything is so horrible and so terrible that we need redemption. I don't know which way we're tilting. I know which way we're tilting nowadays, but right. But Elijah in the Bible goes up to heaven in a chariot of fire. Nowhere does it say that Elijah dies. And so the legends grew through rabbinic teachings in Talmud and then beyond that Elijah actually never died. He went up alive into heaven, and he and God have a conversation on a number of different topics. And from time to time, God sends Elijah back down to the world to check things out, to see how things are doing, right? To understand where we are in our world. So there are many, many folk stories about Elijah. Sometimes he appears in disguise. Always he's here to teach us something. And I wanted to share just two short Elijah stories with you tonight. Right? As I said, once Elijah went up to heaven, from that point on, Elijah comes down every once in a while to seek out those who are in need of help. Sometimes he comes to reward those who are maybe poor. Sometimes he comes to punish those who are behaving unjustly. Sometimes he comes to deliver a message. You never know when he might appear, but if you see a beggar solve a problem which seemed impossible and then vanish, chances are that was Elijah, right? Or if there's an old woman who suddenly appears and gives you advice that's really sage and important and you listen to it, that might be Elijah in disguise as well. So there's a story that's told about a famous rabbi named Rabbi Joshua who prayed that he might meet Elijah. Elijah, Rabbi Joshua prayed, "I don't understand why bad people are sometimes rewarded and good people are punished. How do you know who's actually making the world better and who's making it worse? Please come and teach me your wisdom." Elijah knew that Rabbi Joshua really wanted to become wise, and his heart went out to him, and he decided he would help. So he came down to pay a visit to Rabbi Joshua. "You may follow me on my visits around the earth," Elijah said to Rabbi Joshua, "and that way you'll find out the answer to your question. But there is one condition. You must not ask me any questions, and you must not challenge anything I do, or the moment that you do, I'll return to heaven and you'll be on your own again." Rabbi Joshua said, "Okay," and agreed. So Rabbi Joshua and Elijah the prophet set off together. They both dressed in rags so no one would guess who they really were, and they went off on their way. They soon arrived at the home of an old woman who lived in a tiny one-room hut. "Come in," she said. "Come in, strangers. You look so tired. Come, let me get you something to drink." She went to the little shed next to her hut, took some milk from her own cow. She said, "I'm sorry, I don't have anything else to drink, but please take what milk I have. I'll make you some dinner. I hope you'll stay tonight in my humble home." Well, Rabbi Joshua and Elijah accepted her offer, and they settled down for the night. Rabbi Joshua was certain that the next morning Elijah would reward her for her kindness. And yet, the next morning, Elijah said, as they walked out of the house on their way, a short prayer, and they watched as the poor woman's cow lay down and died. Rabbi Joshua was quite puzzled by this. He didn't understand what had happened, but he remembered his promise not to ask any questions. Elijah and Joshua journeyed on in silence. They followed their way to the next home that they were going to be at, and that was that of a very rich man. Many bedrooms, kitchens filled with food. "What do you want?" the rich man asked. "Why are you bothering me?" We are just wayfarers hoping for some bread and a place to stay." The rich man glared at them. "You are far too dirty to come into my home. If I were to give you food, people would soon know that I shared it with every poor person, and they would all stop by to be fed. We can't have that. But I'll tell you what, I am a generous soul. I'll let you sleep over in that broken down wall by my stable, but you must leave at the first sign of dawn." The two men settled into the straw to sleep. Rabbi Joshua was sure that the next morning that Elijah would punish this man for his unkindness and his lack of hospitality. So he was very surprised when the next morning he woke up and saw Elijah muttering a small prayer, and the wall that had been crumbled that they slept next to, all of a sudden the bricks jumped as if to life and repaired themselves completely. Rabbi Joshua opened his mouth as if to say something and remembered his promise and held his tongue. And the two men journeyed on. After walking a full day, they arrived in a new city where they stopped for evening prayers at this beautiful, elaborate synagogue. Inside the building were candlesticks of gold and finely stitched tapestries. And Elijah and Rabbi Joshua overheard the people in the congregation discussing all the wonderful food that they would go home to eat when the evening prayers were done. The meals they described sounded delicious, and Rabbi Joshua and Elijah were sure that somebody would invite them to their evening meal. And yet when prayers were over, one by one, everyone left, and Elijah and Joshua were left all alone. The warden, the beadle, had to lock the doors for the night. He said, "You guys can stay here. There's an extra loaf of challah if you need something to eat." And he left them as well. And with that, Joshua and Elijah were left alone for the night. The next morning, Rabbi Joshua was sure that Elijah would do something, but instead of cursing this community, he said, "May each member of this synagogue become a leader of the community." Rabbi Joshua did not understand Elijah's actions of wishing such great leadership for them all, but at this point, he still had learned to hold his tongue. One more day's travel, the two men arrived at a little wooden synagogue, nestled among the market stalls of a small town. The synagogue was so different from the one in the big city. The building was humble, a low roof, only one room, but there everybody was kind and welcoming. As soon as Rabbi Joshua and Elijah entered, someone approached them and said, "You must be so weary from your travels. Come and stay with me at my house. I will take care of you." And someone interrupted, said, no, they must stay with me. And another said, no, I want them to be guests with me." One at a time, they each offered their hospitality. And eventually, Rabbi Joshua and Elijah went home with one of the families. They had a soft bed to sleep. And Rabbi Joshua was sure that Elijah would reward the entire community for their generosity. But the next morning, Rabbi Elijah's prayer was, "For this town, dear God, may they only have one leader." Finally, Rabbi Joshua could not hold back any longer. He said, "How can you say such a prayer, Elijah? I've held my tongue in all of these places. I've seen what we have gone through, and I haven't understood what it is that you have done. That poor woman, her cow died, and that rich man, you fixed his wall. That sanctuary full of people, you praised that they would all be filled with leadership. And here in this town that was so kind to us, you wished them only one leader. I don't understand. Can you explain all of this to me?" Elijah listened silently to Rabbi Joshua, and he answered. He said, "My dear Joshua, I'm going to have to leave you on your own now and return to heaven, but I'll explain my actions so you can understand that things are not always as they appear. That old woman at the first house, the angel of death was on its way to greet her on that morning when we left. The prayer that I offered asked God to substitute the cow in her place that she might live, and the angel of death not claim her soul, but the cow instead. At the second home, that man did not know it, but behind that crumbling wall was a buried treasure, which would make that miser even richer than he had imagined. The wall repairing it closed it back up again so that he would not find and misuse the treasure. And as for the two synagogues, I rewarded the good people and punished the bad ones. When I prayed for many leaders for the rich synagogue, I knew that this would only lead to arguments and problems, for there would be too many leaders. The poor synagogue, on the other hand, would have one strong leader to lead them wisely and in peace. Well, now suddenly Rabbi Joshua understood how wise Elijah's prayers and actions had been. Rabbi Joshua hadn't understood who was being rewarded and who was being punished. Now he said, I see that justice is not so simple. Maybe the only way to make the world more just is not by judging God, but by acting justly ourselves so that we can do what is right and know what is right and leave the rest to God. We must trust that God will reward us for that in time. Rabbi and Elijah smiled at Rabbi Joshua and said, you would have been a good prophet, Rabbi Joshua. If more people could understand what you have just said and work to make the world better in the way that you have suggested, then I could return to earth and announce the era of peace and justice. Joshua, keep working towards that day, get others to do the same, and perhaps I'll see you one day again. And with that, Elijah vanished back up into the heavens. Rabbi Joshua was left to ponder over this precious bit of wisdom, to think about how he could learn from it, to teach more people how to make the world a better place. One story about Elijah and Rabbi Joshua and his travels in this world. One other, a shorter one, a briefer one, but an important one as well. Also with Rabbi Joshua ben Levi. Rabbi Joshua ben Levi, at this point, was friends with Elijah. And he met the prophet standing at the entrance to the cave of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai in the land of Israel. Rabbi Joshua asked him, do I have a place in the world to come? Elijah said, if the master desires it. And as Elijah spoke, Rabbi Joshua looked in a wonderment. It maybe was only the echo from the cave before which he stood, but later on he would speak of this meeting with Elijah. He'd say, I saw two of us, but I heard the voice of a third. Rabbi Joshua asked Elijah another question about future times. When will the Messiah come? Elijah said, Rabbi Joshua, you can go and ask him yourself. Rabbi Joshua was puzzled. He said, you mean I could find the Messiah and talk to him? How? Where is he? Elijah said, you can find him at the gates of Rome. How will I recognize him at the gates of Rome? Said Rabbi Joshua. Elijah told him, he sits there among the lepers, whom you will find unwinding all of their bandages at the same time and then covering their sores with clean bandages. The Messiah is the only one among them who unwinds and rewinds his bandages one at a time, not all at once. He does one at a time because he thinks, I want to be ready at a moment's notice if the time for me has arrived. So Rabbi Joshua traveled from the cave of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai in the land of Israel all the way to Rome, a journey that seemed to him to take only a few steps. He wasn't frightened by the strong gates of the enemy or the pitiful condition of the lepers. Keeping in mind Elijah's advice on how to identify the Messiah in the most unlikely of places among the most wretched of people, he quickly spotted the one poor sufferer who was unwrapping and rewrapping only one sore at a time. Rabbi Joshua approached and said to him, peace upon you, my master and teacher. And the leper looked knowingly at him and replied, peace upon you, son of Levi. Rabbi Joshua asked him, when will you come? When will the Messiah come? When will you come, O master? Today, said the leper. Well, Rabbi Joshua returned to Elijah in the blink of an eye, and Elijah said to him, what did the Messiah say to you? And Rabbi Joshua replied, he said, peace be upon you, son of Levi. Ah, said Elijah, that's your first answer to your first question to me. He assured that both you and your father have a place in the world to come. Rabbi Joshua said, okay, but it is now the end of the day, and he has not yet arrived. The Messiah lied to me. He said, today I will come, but the day is over and he has not come. Elijah said, no, no. He did not say he would come today. He said the word today as a quote from the verse in Psalms that says, today, if you will only listen to God's voice. Our lesson from that one, the Messiah who sits among the lepers in the gates of Rome, much to unpack, but the Messiah in the presence of the gates of the enemy of the Jewish people and the enemy of the rabbis. The Messiah sitting among the lowly and most despised, desolate of folks, the abandoned, the poor, the leprous among them. The Messiah who recognized Rabbi Joshua without even an introduction, who knows us and waits for us. The Messiah who said, I'm coming today, if we would only listen to God's voice and make our world the world it is supposed to be. We learn about Elijah from these stories. We recognize Elijah from our Passover Seders. We hear that echo of redemption, of making our world more fair, more just. Our world where if we listen and hear and heed God's voice, we know redemption can come. May our understanding of Elijah only increase, and may our desire to do good work to bring about justice and redemption, to understand compassion and caring for each other, may all this bring us closer to the day that Elijah may return today, if only we would hearken to God's voice. Can you hear at Sohn? May this be God's will. And together let us all say, Amen.